Thanks very much. And it is a pleasure to be in for George Norrie tonight. And thank you for all of the very nice emails that are coming in. And I think Ross already said so, but you can send me an email to John B at coasttocoastam.com. Do not use the number 2, coast, T-O, coast, A-M.com. And it'll get here. And it was so absolutely, completely special to talk with Ray Bradbury tonight. In 1920, when he was born, you could buy a Ford for $290. Women had just attained the right to vote. A man's wool suit was $15. Cigarettes were not $8 a pack. They were 10 cents a pack. Life expectancy for a male, 53.6 years. For a female, 54.6 years. Average annual earnings, $1,236. Wow, and I bet the money didn't go any farther than it does now. Be patient. The lines are filling up, and I want to get to as many of your calls as possible. And I know that whenever you come on and chat, and then all of a sudden we're gone, you go, oh, I'm off the air. Got to do it so we can talk to the members of the family. So we're coming back with more of you on Coast to Coast AM. John Wells in for George Norrie. Why don't we get to some more of your calls, because it's open line Friday and the lines are lit up. So let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast AM. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, this is Dennis. I'm actually from Ohio, trucking it through the Rockies right now.
All right.
I got a stupid question.
Oh, there's no such thing as a stupid question.
Oh, this is pretty whacked out. I guess it's basically going to be for the audience. If anyone out there has any ideas of what's going on with ticks, if there's just like a mass production of them going on right now, you know, where there's just heavy breeding or something. But I'm a truck driver, and I travel many, many places. And my fiance and I will check our dog regularly. We check her. There's nothing ever happening, but over the past year, numerous amounts of ticks end up showing up on my body. And then the worst one today is I'm at a truck stop, and I go to get my cup of coffee, and I go to pour in my creamer, and ticks actually came out of the creamer. So, like I said, it sounds stupid. It sounds crazy. If it's something with me, if there's something happening, if I need to be clued in on something, there's just something weird going on with ticks when it comes to me, I guess.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I haven't heard of I found one tick on my dog last week. I don't know of an epidemic of ticks. I don't know about the disappearance of the bees. They seem Maybe the insects are moving around.
It could be. Like I said, I've checked into it and I haven't found anything happening, but for some reason, just multiple times they've been on me. And then, like I said, the coffee one was the worst one. But anyways, I appreciate your time. I'm a very short time listener. I was going through Texas, found you guys. My fiance told me just like 3-4 weeks ago that you guys are on XM. So I went out and bought an XM and programmed in, and now I listen to you guys every night. Great show. Appreciate you coming on. And again, love your voice. Great job. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you for your time, sir. Hey, you know what? I just got an email from Paul, and he's right. He said, hey, I enjoyed your show. With all due respect, your theory on the modern technical era being bombarded or negatively overwhelmed with colors was the silliest thing I've ever heard. I don't think I made myself clear on that, Paul, but let me do it now. Here's what I omitted a huge part of that. What I should have included was that before mankind was able to, humankind, let's put it that way. Let's not be sexist. After all, we're coming from L.A. Before mankind was able to manipulate colors at will, the only time that they were observable, of course, was in nature, either through light or through flowers or the color of the, you know, the flora, the fauna, the, you know, fire, water, air, and earth, which aren't those the only four problems that California has? Oh, well. So that's what I meant by that. What I meant to imply was that because we can manipulate and apply color at will on just about anything that we want, whereas that was not possible before, the stimulus effect has been increased. Okay, so I hope that cleared that up a little bit, PC, and thank you for your email. And carry on with your Matisse, Picasso, Gauguin, and all the other masters of the art would agree with you. Yes, Yes, indeed. I shouldn't have left out that piece of data. Anyway, enough of that stuff. Here's another Friday Night Caller on the Wild Card line. You are on Coast to Coast AM, and what is on your mind?
Hi, John. My name is Pam. I'm in Cotati, California. And you had asked, by the way, I love your show and loved Ray Bradbury. Amazing, beautiful. You had asked earlier about where you see the future going, and I can't see the future, but I think I saw a little piece for me, and I wanted to kind of share that because lately I've been thinking about, you know, what is my purpose in life? What am I supposed to be doing? I want to be doing something meaningful, blah, blah, blah. And I'm a software tester, and I have a good living and stuff, but I'm working for, you know, a company who's out for profit that's not really doing anything for humanity. And I'm a pretty spiritual person, and my pastor said one time or a few times, not directly to me, but in general, just, well, sometimes God comes to you in your dreams. And recently, it seemed to happen. I had this dream where I was walking out of my complex here, and this homeless person was coming up to me, and he was kind of acting kind of crazy, and I looked off to the right, and there was this other man coming to me, and his skin was blue. It was glowing blue, and he had white dreadlocks, and he just seemed to, like, floating across the street, and this other guy was coming up to me, and he had a cigarette in one hand and a lighter in the other, and he's just looking at me all funny, and he's just going, "Hey, you got a light, you got a light, you got a light," and I'm just like, "Oh, help." So the blue guy comes over, and the homeless guy turns to him, he says, "Hey, you got a light?" And he grabs the lighter out of the man's hand, and he lights a cigarette for him, and he goes, "Thanks, man," and then he walks away. I had to laugh, and I asked this guy, "Where are you from?" And he said, "I am from the land of love, hope, and prosperity." And I thought, wow, you're obviously not from around here. And and so anyway, we were chatting, and the next thing I know, he's driving this car, and we're on the freeway, which is strange because I'm usually driving in my dreams. But anyway, yep. We're just driving along, and he turns into this elderly woman, and she turns to me, and she says, "You need not worry about your future." And I looked at her, and I said, "You can see the future." "You can see my future." And she said, soon after this conversation, you will begin doing work to help the homeless sustain attainable living. And I thought, wow, that's great. That's amazing. And then she said, soon later on, I will have become a molecular biologist, which is totally beyond my wildest dreams, molecular biologist and helping to sustain humanity on other planets or in outer space or, you know, in something outside of this earth. And I was blown away by this dream. I was thinking, wow, is this really a glimpse into what, you know,
that's a pretty complex dream. There must be some message there, because that is not, you know, you can dream about a lot of things. They don't usually last as long as that one does, though. That's pretty detailed. Yes.
Yes. Well, I mean, I have a lot of detailed dreams, and I've had spiritual experiences before. So to me, you know, that it was a wake-up call. So I definitely, you know, now I'm helping volunteer, and which is great. I think, you know, homeless people are people too, and they deserve more. And so I'm helping out. I think our church does a thing twice a month. And
well, that's excellent. Do everything you can. It certainly won't hurt anything. All right.
And you're right about love conquers all. You know, love is, without it, there's nothing.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Have a good weekend, will you? And thanks for the call. That's very nice. That's a very nice. Well, why don't we go to, let's go to another wild card line, all right? Let's do that. You're on Coast to Coast AM. What hath you to offer?
Good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, you're doing a great job. You know, you ask a question, what's the outlook of mankind, or where are we headed, or where are we going, or whatever. I look at the universe as vast, it's complex, and it's intricate, and I don't think it was put together by chance. So I'm sure there's a creator out there. And I look at it that I don't believe the creator would have created such a beautiful planet, and in most cases, us humans, to destroy us. I just don't buy into that theory. And I think when you look at the sky and trees and everything else, it's just a complex thing. But when I hear people that are, you know, they get so wrapped up in their own little world, you know, as far as cable and soccer games and stuff like this, I said, you know, you enjoy life a little bit and talk to other people, because, you know, when you do die, I've never seen a U-Haul trailer in back of a hearse.
That's true.
But I think you're doing a great job. You've got a good voice. And really, a long time ago, I've been listening to the show for over 15 years, and I was homeless for 3 years. I was living in my car. I was very depressed. And I thought, you know, this is probably the end of my being here on this planet. But, you know, Art Bell, when I heard his voice, it captivated me, somewhat like what yours does. And when she started talking about spiritual awakening and stuff like this, and various other subjects, it caught my attention. And at that point, I was hooked, and I've lost more sleep because of this show. But it's been very intriguing and very enlightening, and it's really, I guess, had a spiritual awakening within inside my being. So I owe a lot to Art Bell. And I hope if Art is listening, I'd like to congratulate him, of course, on his daughter's birth. And I hope everybody is doing well. But, you know, John, you are the same thing as Art in some instances. I think as far as the voice, there has to be a hook. And I think with that hook, it's the voice and the understanding and your presentation. So,
well, I appreciate you saying that, man. I'll tell you what, Art Bell has kept me up many a night also. And I've been listening to him for about as long as you have, and he is a visionary and absolutely one of a kind. They broke the mold after they made Art. There's no doubt about that. Your head seems to be in a good place, so just keep going. Do everything you can, as well as you can, for as long as you can, all right? Have a good weekend. Thanks for the call. Very nice. Nice man. Let's go. Where are we going? East of the Rockies? Let's go east, yeah. You're on Coast to Coast AM. How's it going?
Doing great. How are you doing tonight?
Not too bad, thanks.
You're doing a great job. I know everybody else has been telling you the same thing, but they are definitely telling the truth. I want to tell you a little story about a dream I had, kind of staying along the same line of what the woman was talking about a couple of calls ago, talking about dreams here. About 15 years ago, I woke up from a dream, and I got showered, got dressed, and packed a suitcase. About a half hour later, my dad comes walking up the stairs and wants to get me up to get in the car because we have to leave. And I told him, yeah, I know. And he said, well, I've got some really bad news. Your sister was in a really bad car wreck. We don't know if she's alive or dead. We don't know what happened. I said, well, Dad, don't worry. She'll be fine. And he said, well, we need to leave as soon as you can. So as quickly as you can. I said, Dad, I'm already packed. I'm ready to go. Let's go. So he was obviously in a very distraught state for a while, but after about 3 hours down the road, he said, you know, that was the strangest thing. I went up to your room and, you know, you were dressed and ready to go. And, you know, what's up with that? I said, well, Dad, I had a dream. And in my dream, I saw my sister. I was in the back seat of a car. She was in the front seat with her boyfriend, and this car started flipping. And it just kept on flipping over and over and over again.
Oh, boy.
And I mean, I was there. And, you know, I saw everything happen. She ended up getting thrown out on the last flip, but she was okay. And I saw that part of it, and it just kind of, you know, I saw the paramedics come, but she was, you know, she was okay. She wasn't, you know, wasn't dead, obviously. And after that, that's when I woke up. And that's what preceded me to get dressed and get ready to go. And he said, well, you know, that's fine and all, but, you know, how are you sure that she's okay? I said, Dad, don't ask me how I know, but I know she is. Well, anyway, we get out to where she is, and luckily she was in a pretty bad state. The car had flipped about 8 times, and she had gotten about 100-something staples through her body, and was in the hospital for days, but ended up coming out of it pretty well. But, you know, later that afternoon, we went to the side of the wreck to see, you know, if there was anything we could salvage from the car or anything like that. And we're driving along the interstate, and my dad knows where the mile marker is. And I said, no, Dad, stop. So, no, it's a couple of miles ahead. I said, no, just pull over right here. And he did. And off to the left was the remains. They had towed the car away, but off to the left was the remains of everything from that wreck. And
unbelievable.
I remembered it all from that dream. Like, you know, it was like I was there. I'd never had a dream like that before, and I haven't had anything quite like that since. You know, I was 15 years old at the time and did not really know too much about dreams other than, you know, just being random occurrences. But, you know, I've really worked in the past 15 or so years, and, you know, I've developed an ability now. I didn't even know it had a name, called lucid dreaming, but, you know, it's something that I've really worked really hard at, you know, developing. And, I've gotten to the point now that I can control my dreams and decide what I want to do in my dreams. And now, instead of, you know, my dreams kind of controlling my mind, I actually can, you know, make decisions about what I want to do and what I want to dream about. But, you know, I do wish I would have one or two more dreams kind of like that. At least foretelling good events instead of, that wasn't a good event, but it could have been a whole lot worse.
Yeah, well, lucid dreaming is something that can be developed, and it's very easy for, you know, when you're the one experiencing something like that, and also the consequences or ramifications or otherwise the effects of a dream. You dream something that has happened. There's no way for you to know that it happened, but and yet you do know that it's happened, or you dream something which comes to pass, which has been referred to as the sight. It's very easy for the casual observer to assume, you know, whatever. But these are real things. And wouldn't you agree that they are gifts? It's a gift, and it's up to you to develop it. As surely as continuing to, like the boxers, and like these two big guys, I don't remember their names, but they're brothers, and one of them just crashed through a 6-foot wall of ice. But the fact is if you continue to work your hands like the boxers did against sandbags, the little chain link structure of your bones, those chain links actually begin to thicken. So if your body adapts, certainly your mind can adapt. So why not roll with it? And thanks for the call.
No, thank you.
All right. Take care. All right. Let's go to the wild card, shall we? All right, you're on Coast to Coast AM. Hit me with something really good, and hit everybody else, about 10 million of us, with it, too.
From Oregon, it's Elaine. How you doing?
Hey, Elaine in Oregon. What's going on?
I would like to proclaim a huge public thank you to J.C., our famous boiling pit of sewage guy.
Isn't that the truth?
No, I want to thank him for a certain inspiration, for he has shown me the way that and people like him, not to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Instead, Unitarian is a lot gentler. It's amazing how much power you can of persuasion you can with a whisper rather than a scream.
That's true.
And it's you know, that's the way it goes. You know, that's how to show love. And what I really like about it is I've collected pretty much all the calls I've ever done to Coast on my laptop, and I've done a few secular humanists, and I say, hey, check this guy out. They were laughing so hard. They said, is this guy for real or is this an act? I said, I think he's for real, best we can tell. Mm-hmm. And so I got the local group of secular humanists actually enjoying his calls as well. It's an interesting kind of inspiration, in my opinion.
Follow your joy. That's my advice. This is Coast to Coast AM, and we will return. Well, good evening once again. Let me just say that it really is a pleasure to be to be in Mr. Norrie's chair tonight with, as they say in Texas, all right, as we say in Texas, with y'all, all right? But that's one time only, okay? Got an email from Sharon who said, wow, cool, John, I just heard Captain Beyond. Actually, that's the name of the band. Well, and it is providential that Dan has just played Hush, because that band is actually made up. Captain Beyond, I just want to say this for the record to all you millions of people, I'm serious. This is a personal thing. And here it is. Captain Beyond is probably one of the two least recognized, underappreciated bands that I know of, because Captain Beyond is made up of two people, two guys from Iron Butterfly and the lead singer from that band you just heard, Deep Purple, and it is a rocking album. If you can get it, it's really good. The Raging River of Fear, just a mesmerization eclipse. It's classified as acid rock. I don't see any acid in it. I see more alkaline. I think it's just perfectly healthy, and I like it a lot. And the other musician that I consider to be absolutely fabulous, unbelievable, righteous guitarist is Frank Marino and Mahogany Rush. I'm telling you, just go look through the archives and find them. You will enjoy it, I promise. All right, that's according to my son, who he tells me all the stuff that I really should know, since I actually was sort of kind of a part of that era. Okay, I was a part of it, and yeah, big time. And so anyway, that's whenever I want to find out what the actual straight skinny is on stuff, I ask my son. He's 18. All right, let's go to first time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast AM. Talk to me.
Hello, John.
Yes, sir.
This is JD calling out of Bossier City, Louisiana.
How are you?
I just wanted to tell you a story about a couple of dreams I had leading up to 9/11.
All right, well, tell me real quick, and I'll tell you why. It's not because I'm not interested, because I am. I just want to get lots of people on the phone tonight, so come on quick.
All right, the dream started out, I'd be on an airplane on the window side, looking out the window. It'd be a flat plane, and there was a single tower standing up in the middle of the plane. Like a wasteland looking kind of deal.
Oh yeah.
And the plane would just veer off and go to it. It'd get about 100 feet, and I'd wake up, and I'd have this dream about 5 times a month, maybe. It was a recurring nightmare for me because it was scary. Well, it was about around September 2001. It was before the attacks, and I had the dream, and I realized it was a lucid dream. I could, you know, move around. So I started, you know, just trying to figure out what was going on. I'm running around the plane, and then I wake up, you know, about 100 feet from the tower. I wake up, and I'm standing outside of my house. And then after the attacks hit, the dream stopped.
Wow. Yeah, well, you have the sight, man. I would say just tune into it. You might be able to avert a catastrophe sometime in the future. I mean, you're here for some reason. Maybe that's what it is. So I would say that, consider that a gift, and try and feed it, try and nurture it, and don't drive yourself nuts in the process. Thank you very much for your call, sir. Let's go to East of the Rockies, shall we? You're on Coast to Coast AM. Talk to me.
Hey, John, this is Corey in Austin, and I had some comments laid up, but you caused me to dance madly backwards with what you just mentioned. And I have to say, I love Captain Beyond, and also, if you know, the second record, the keyboard player was Reese Winans, who played keyboards for the wonderful, most amazing Stevie Ray Vaughan. Just a little trivia there for you.
That's the album with Sufficiently Breathless on the Street Where We Live?
Certainly, sir.
All right. You know, I actually saw those guys live at Texas Hall over by the University of Texas at Arlington, of all places. Not at Austin, but
right.
At Arlington, up there at the thing they used to call the Giants Water Closet. It was great. It's gone
well,
now.
I appreciate you bringing that up, because that is a spectacular band. But to get to the point, I just want to talk about love briefly, because I do love Ray Bradbury. I love JC. And I love you too, brother, for what you're doing with this show. It's amazing. And I want to talk briefly about esoteric orders and hidden information and a lot of what, you know, there's a lot of misinformation and a lot of mystique around this esoteric orders and things of that nature. And I myself have been branded a Luciferian for a particular esoteric order that I'm affiliated with. And I just want to say a lot of people go through great lengths and great pains to bring this information out to people to help them, to benefit them. They want to bring out this esoteric information to bolster humanity, to remind us that there is one humanity and that we are all one, and that, you know, there's no need to get caught up in a lot of this stuff. And if people could just realize that there are a lot of people that are trying to help a lot by bringing this information out and trying to, again, just help things out. And lastly, I'd like to say there is a Saturday show that precedes Coast to Coast AM that could sorely use a shot in the arm, and I think you could be the third band that could really help Coast to Coast out a lot. Just, you know, quick comment on that.
Well, you know, my one of my distant cousins, big guy, actually played the third man. Maybe there is something providential in this. Oh, my brother. Tell you what, let's do. Let's take us a little break. Dan says we can take a little break, and then we're going to get back to your show, because it's open line Friday on Coast to Coast AM. All right. I love that first-time caller line, so come on in to the Global Living Room. You're on Coast to Coast. What's up?
Hey, are you talking to me?
I sure am.
Right on. Well, good to be talking to you, man. You're doing a great job on the show tonight.
Well, thanks, my brother.
I just kind of wanted to talk to you, see if you might have any insight. I've got a couple of experiences that I had as a young child. See if you might have any insight on what might have happened. Basically, as a small child, like, you know, from the time I was maybe 8 years old on to my early teens, I would have a lot of trouble falling asleep at night. I'd not quite like insomnia or anything like that, but sometimes it would take me, you know, 4 or 5 hours to fall asleep. So obviously I had a whole lot of time to think, you know, about deep stuff and whatnot. And I always really believed in the idea of the concept of people only use 10% of their minds and whatnot. Maybe I took it too literally. So what I would try and do is I would try and explore my mind and see, you know, if I could maybe open up other parts of my mind. And like I said, this was when I was a young child, not really knowing too much about, you know, meditation or anything like that. And I actually got to the point where what I would start doing is I would, you know, be able to like focus my energy, focus my thoughts like on the back of my head, basically, you know, like at the base of my skull. And I would kind of move that energy like throughout my mind. And it got to the point where I actually figured out how to put myself to sleep by doing that, which ended up, you know, being kind of a cool side effect of doing that. You know, I would just, like I said, move this ball of energy like throughout my head. And then once it got like right behind my eyes, my whole body like would just become calm and I would, you know, slowly fall asleep. And also, you know, doing kind of that same concept, I would, you know, focus the energy like on other parts of my body, like on my chest and whatnot. And I actually ended up having an out-of-body experience by doing that. You know, I focused a lot of energy and a lot of emotion on my heart, and I real quick just actually left my body, which of course freaked me out so bad that I ended up, you know, getting back to normal and whatnot. Well, I was talking to a friend not too long ago who's pretty well informed on different religions and whatnot, and he said that sounds like I was focusing on different chakras in my body, and, you know, that's just a common thing for people to do when they're meditating and whatnot. And actually a lot of high-level meditation involves, you know, actually putting yourself to sleep, kind of like I was telling him about. And,
sure.
And I was wondering if maybe you might have any insight on, you know, either more in-depth of the chakras of the body, or if you might know where I might look for more information on that.
You know what? I studied with a Korean master, Dr. Edward Song. He's in Dallas, Texas. He's a great guy and a great man, a great martial artist. And he taught me this key rotation thing, as he does as part of his curriculum for his students. And this, you know, while I am not an authority on this, I have experimented with a few of these things that you have mentioned, the out-of-body experience and that sleep paralysis and so forth. And one I am convinced was an actual out-of-body experience walking around, and I did experience a little trouble getting back in, and actually it scared me a little bit, and I didn't feel like continuing to do it.
Yeah, I understand.
But it sounds almost, I mean, you start with a hand movement that aids you in developing this key rotation, is what it's called. And you can actually develop it to where you really can move it up and down. And the way you were describing what you were doing is a little bit reminiscent of that, but I would say it is akin to it, although I am not qualified to go any further with it. I mean, it'll just be, anything else that I would have to say about it would be absolutely just speculation. But here's the thing. You're doing something. And
right.
One of your comments also triggered another thought, which is this 10% of our brain. When I was a kid, it was 5% of our brain. Now it's
right.
10. And I'm thinking that maybe this is part of the, the divine plan. And this would be why, as we go forward into the future, there is more to remember. There is more to learn. So as we go forward, we need to activate more of that biological hard drive back there. Maybe the reason that we only use 10% now is because we're going to need the 90% for the future. Thanks for your call, and have a good weekend. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast AM. Good evening.
Hey, John. This is Mr. Plato driving up to Northern California. I just wanted to say the sewage guy was hilarious, and that's actually going to prompt me to stay up and look through it all over again.
He's a scream, I'll tell you.
I'd love to hear him again sometime.
I'd like to get him to do a message machine message for me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean,
leave a message at the tone or you'll be thrown to a boiling pit of sewage. I can hear it now, you know.
Exactly. exactly. I just wanted to reflect on a story that you told earlier. When I was a child, about eight, a friend and I were looking out the window, and you know, we couldn't really fall asleep. We got kicked off the Nintendo, so we were just trying to make up games, and you know, we started looking at constellations from the sky, and he was studying that at his school, and you know, he was trying to go through some of the constellations, and you know, I was making part of them up, and you know, I looked at one, and it looked like a reindeer in the sky. It was a triangle, you know, two eyes and a big bright nose. And I told him that all the other stars around it were antlers. And I, you know, it took him a little while to find it. And finally, he focused on it, and you know, we just kind of laughed and pointed at it. And all of a sudden, those three stars rearranged each other so much and so quick, and then they just disappeared out of the sky.
Well, tell me that last part again. What happened?
They just disappeared out of the sky. I mean, it's
really
blank. I mean, that kind of, you know, the story you told about, you know, looking up at the opening in the sky and, you know, just kind of, you know, stars, I guess you'd say, or, you know, UFOs kind of moving around real quick.
Wow. Yeah. Well, look, it's kind of big out there, isn't it? And I'm sure there's a lot of action going on that we're just not able to observe from here. And the ones who are able to observe it, some of them are talking and some of them aren't. And probably the ones that are observing the most significant spectacles aren't saying anything. There was a story I heard recently about some pilots. There were two pilots, and they were flying general aviation aircraft. And they were confronted in California with these four huge spheres. And I think one of them's name was Arnie. And he said, and the student pilot said, "Arnie, what do you suppose that is?" He goes, "I don't know." He goes, "Well, don't you think we should report it?" He goes, "I ain't going to report it." So I think there's probably a whole lot to that. So just keep your eyes peeled. There's a lot more to come. It's next few years are not going to be boring. Wouldn't you agree? Let's go east of the Rockies. Let's go to east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast AM.
Hi, this is Michael in Norfolk, Virginia.
Hi, Michael.
You know, when George said that he was going to be away tonight, I hoped that you would be on. And I couldn't believe it. I fell off the couch when I heard your voice. Thank you for coming. You know, you talked about we need some new ideas, and you and Ray Bradbury certainly put some new ones out concerning Mexico. But I've got a question for you. Which country is a caller most likely to be hung up on by a talk show host? Now, this is excluding Coast to Coast.
Okay.
By a talk show host, if he criticizes that country, which country in the world most likely to be hung up on simply for criticizing the politics of that country?
Oh, man, you're trying to get me to go out on the clothesline with this one. Okay, I'll bite.
Who are you going to say?
China.
No.
Hit me. What do you think?
It is the Vatican Nation.
Oh, yeah.
Overwhelmingly.
Okay. All right.
Overwhelmingly. Now, this goes to your comment and Ray Bradbury's comment, throwing the Hispanics out, and you talked about annexing Mexico. Look, here's the situation. We have a thing in this country called the Logan Act, and yet we have tens of thousands of priests who have sworn allegiance to the head of a foreign country who is telling them to tell their congregations to disobey the laws of this country and bring more Mexicans in illegally. That's a violation of the Logan Act. Every one of these people are unregistered agents of a foreign country, and our laws are not being enforced. And that would include five members of the Supreme Court who have also sworn allegiance to that same head of another country.
You know, man, a year and a half ago, almost to the day, I had the privilege of being a guest host on this show. And a fellow called up, and he was critical of our current president. And what I wish I'd told him then is the same thing I'd like to tell everybody now. If you don't like what's going on, in Fahrenheit 451, that was written by Mr. Bradbury, who was on the show, we had on the show tonight, for anybody that's joining our program in progress, but Mr. Bradbury, excuse me, won't do that again. I can't call him Ray. One of the things in Fahrenheit 451 was that people had abandoned sitting on their front porches and talking, that this was discouraged. The reading of books was discouraged. Now, when this whole, this book was presented, oh, you need to read this because it's like firemen. But it's kind of funny because instead of squirting water on fires, they actually go around starting fires. Ha ha. So, okay. So, really, as children, we should have been directed away from that juvenile interpretation of where that story was coming from. It's like, oh, no, you need, just need to read this very carefully and let your mind wander. If you want change, what you need to do is you need to get with your neighbors on the front porches. If you're building a new house, make sure it has accommodations for your 10-person dinner parties, if you can. If you can't put them in the house, put them in the yard. Put them on the front porch. But talk to them. If you want to change these things, I don't like the fact that the borders are open. I don't have a problem. I don't dislike the Mexican people. I don't have problems with individuals usually. I have problems with groups. I have problems with big undocumented groups when, you know, a measurable percentage of the world has a problem with us and would like to cause us harm. But if you see something that's wrong, do something about it. Don't be afraid to write a letter to a senator because you're going to wind up on a list. Don't be afraid to send an email. Don't be afraid to raise hell if it's justified. Just do it. Because you know what? One of these days we're going to check out of here. That's it. One thing is for sure. It's like Ray Charles said, one thing for sure, you're going to die. So before that happens, do something. Stand for something. And try and stand for something that's worth standing for. I mean, that's it. I'm stepping down off the soapbox now. But if you don't like what's going on, do something about it. Again, never doubt that a small handful of people can change the world. It's the only thing that ever has. Every revolution begins with one voice. Why not yours? First time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast AM.
Hey, you talking to me?
I sure am. There's nobody here but you and me.
Okay, this is Joey from Nevada.
And 10 million others. Hey, Joey, what's up?
Oh, my God, I can't believe I got through.
You did.
Well, anyways, I got a UFO story for you.
Okay, got to make it quick because I got red lights blinking in my face.
All right. Well, anyways, me and my brother and my cousin were sitting in the spa one day, right?
Yep.
Hold on a second, Mom, I'm on the radio. I'm talking to John on the radio. Hold on. Well, anyways, we're sitting in the spa and we see this UFO comes down and they're just talking about it and we end up seeing it out in the sky and it was crazy because it came right up on us and, like, flew right out. It was really rude. Big blue light, you know, about the size of the moon. It was really dark night. Well, anyways, I don't know. I don't like to get into details, but it kind of scares me. Well, anyways, yeah, can we get that boiling sewage guy back on? He's so funny.
The boiling sewage guy. Okay, we're going to get a hold of him. Where's his number? You got his number? Give it to me. This is Coast to Coast AM. We will return.